Cheers, Bears fans. I am Aldo Gandia, and this is Bears Barroom Radio. Lots of activity going on in the NFL and with the Chicago Bears. For us diehard fans, this is as intriguing as any Bears game we've witnessed in a long time. I am fortunate to have today as our guest Siafa Lewis, the lead sports anchor over at the Chicago NBC owned and operated station WMAQ-TV. Siafa has covered all the Chicago sports, and when it comes to Bears football, he has it down, especially on one of my favorite sports shows, Sports Sunday, which airs right after the NBC 5 news show at 10 p.m. Central. I spoke with Siafa Lewis moments ago on the telephone. Here's the interview.
Well, first of all, Siafa, thanks for being on the show, and congratulations on your recent promotion to lead sports anchor over at WMAQ-TV. It's very well deserved.
Oh, thank you very much, man. I really appreciate the sentiments and the thought, and thank you.
Now, you were a sports anchor and reporter over at WNBC in New York, so you know that market really well, and today Adam Schefter is reporting that Brandon Marshall is going to sign a two-year, $12 million deal with the New York Giants. So the obvious first question is, can Odell Beckham Jr. and Brandon Marshall coexist together in the same locker room?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. We know Brandon has immense talent, but he's obviously on the decline of his career. I just don't see what the upshot is for the Giants. I don't think offense was necessarily their problem last year. I think the running aspect of the offense is a bigger issue than the passing game. I just don't see Brandon Marshall. I don't see the upside. I just don't get it. It makes no sense to me. How about you?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the bigger concern is just the personalities involved. And Brandon, you know, God bless him, he's done a lot to help with mental health awareness. But there are times where he has these lapses in judgment and just creates problems in the locker room, and then you mix him in with a guy like Odell Beckham, who has also had some emotional anger issues, and so you got to wonder how that locker room is going to function.
I would definitely say they're both mercurial personalities. I don't necessarily know of water and oil mix, so listen, I have the utmost respect for Eli Manning as a leader and a field general, and I think he's extremely clutch. Again, I just don't get it. Why when you're trying to rein in Odell Beckham Jr. and trying to make sure that he matures as a human being, I just don't get it. I just don't understand. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Now, let me ask you about another topic with Joe Mixon. As we know, the Oklahoma running back as a freshman, he struck a fellow female student in the face that resulted in four broken facial bones. He was charged with a misdemeanor. He agreed to a plea agreement. He served a year of probation. He underwent counseling. He served 100 hours of community service, and he was suspended for that 2014 season. Now, Mixon was not allowed to participate at the NFL Combine. And as we tape this here today on Wednesday, Siafa, he's having his pro day, which ironically is on International Women's Day.
Women's Day, right.
Yeah. But my question to you, and we know that Mixon is a first-round talent, if he falls to the third or fourth round, would you be okay if the Bears considered taking him?
I have a mother, a wife, a daughter. I have no patience for a man putting his hands on a woman. None, zero, zilch. It disgusts me. I find it to be abhorrent. I think it's one of the lowest things a man can do. The older I get, the more you come to the realization of how imperfect human beings are and that they do make mistakes, however gross we may find them to be. If Ryan Pace felt 100% that it was a one-off, immature, stupid incident, and that this is not a repeatable pattern of behavior, I'm also one for second chances. I would try to find out from the girl her perspective. I want to talk to his coaches. and see what kind of individual he is. If this is something that there's any chance they think could happen again, or if they honestly believe this was a one-off, kind of like Ray Rice. I'm really bothered by the way Ray Rice. I covered Rutgers University when Ray Rice was at the university, and this has nothing necessarily to do with where I'm going with it, but everything that we've seen and heard, it really does seem, and you never know 100%, but it seems as though it was a one-off, absolutely ridiculous incident with Ray Rice and his wife. She's never said he hit her before or after. He said it was a one-time thing. He's spent his life talking to women's groups and trying to become a better human being. In an instance like that, I think it was all about the video. I think if we hadn't seen the video, Ray Rice would have played in the NFL after that incident, which doesn't make it right. I'm just saying that we should view a woman being hit by a man the same way, whether we have video or not. And Ray Rice seemed contrite where Greg Hardy did not, and Greg Hardy got a second chance, and that really, really bothers me. So long, long, long story short, if Ryan Pace felt 100% sure and certain that it was a one-off incident and that the man has matured and is repentant and is contrite about the incident, then I would not be outraged by it. But I'd have to do a lot of homework to get to that point.
Well, I mean, I got to agree with you. I believe in giving people second chances, but I also feel like it's about as close as possible for zero tolerance when it comes down to assaulting a male assaulting a female. But at the same time, you know, what do we do with people who have committed a crime? Do we ostracize them from society, or should we try to rehabilitate them? And so I agree with you. I would do the thorough checking on him, and then I would also put in place further counseling and making sure that he's on the road to never doing this again. So I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we're on the same page regarding Jay Cutler, and having read some of your tweets in the past, it doesn't seem like you're a big Jay lover. And so the Jay Cutler era is over in Chicago. What are your thoughts?
I've been tough on Jay, but I also think I'm fair. I don't think Jay is I don't think he's as bad as you may think based on my tweets. I simply don't believe that he is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And for me, if you're not trying to win a title, then I don't know what you're trying to do. So that's basically what it is for me. I don't think he's horrible. I just think that you've got a tier system of quarterbacks in the NFL. You've got your Tom Brady's and maybe your Aaron Rodgers and I don't know, maybe Drew Brees, guys who can overcome injuries to playmakers and you can still win with them. Ben Roethlisberger might be in that category. Then you have that second tier guys who have spurts of being able to win when the chips are against them, and then they revert a little bit. So they're back and forth a little bit. Then you have a big group of guys who are good quarterbacks, good arm strength, good talent, who don't do it consistently and who cannot win when the chips fall against them. And Jay is in that category. He's got a great arm. He's a very smart guy. I actually think his intelligence hurts him sometimes because I think he believes he can overcompensate when he shouldn't, when he should know better. I think his intelligence gets in his way. And at this point, for where this Bears team is and what I believe they're trying to do, I just don't see the point of having that guy as your quarterback. So I'm not necessarily anti-Jay. I've just seen enough to know what I think I have with him, and I don't need that going forward. I can go 3-13 without Jay Cutler.
Yeah, I think everything that you said is fair, and I feel like the organization let him down by not giving him the proper resources as soon as he got here. He played when he played under Lovie Smith. He had a terrible offensive line. He really didn't have any wide receiver weapons. And then when they did get him the assistance that he needed, the defense suffered. It was a historically bad defense. So I think the guy ran through some bad luck. And I agree with you, too, that his intelligence sometimes – and his competitive nature sometimes gets him in a lot of trouble. So I agree with you. It's time to move on. And it looks like we're moving on to Tampa Bay, former Tampa Bay Bucs quarterback Mike Glennon. And it's so far from what I'm able to tell from Bears fans on social media, it's not a very popular decision if the Bears do indeed sign Glennon. And David Hall over at the Tribune writes today in his column that this is the sign of an organization that's in crisis mode. There were a lot of empty seats. And so Hall actually wrote, and I'm almost quoting word for word, is that the Bears are stuck trying to win games and also rebuild for later, which is something that really works in Chicago sports. Do you agree with David's assessment on the Bears organization?
Well, first, I wanted to say real fast, I think, as I was watching the playoffs this year, I think Jay Cutler, I think the Houston Texans need to see what they can do to get Jay Cutler, because I think that is a situation tailor-made for him, and I think we'd finally see whether or not he can get out of his own way. Mm-hmm. You've got two really good wide receivers. You've got a running game. You have an O-line. You have great defense. You have a good young coach. If a competent quarterback cannot succeed there, I don't know where he can. They're a quarterback away. That's all they need is a quarterback. I'd love to see what Jay can do in Houston. Mike Glennon. All right. Here's the thing. Most of us are not quarterback gurus, quarterback experts. We don't have the expertise. We don't study quarterbacks for a living. So it's I'm always suspicious when, you know, people start talking about this next guy and what they've seen in him in small sample sizes. And he was a 3-year starter at North Carolina State. He's a big guy with a strong arm. His stats look fine. Well, they drafted Jameis Winston, and he's riding the pine because they like Jameis way better. And so I know Steve Young was a backup, and I know Aaron Rodgers was a backup. Of course, they were backups to Hall of Famers. I'm not saying Jameis Winston is a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying he's 27 years old. It's going to be his fourth season. Am I in a position to say that he can't be a good, competent quarterback or maybe even develop into a star? I cannot say that. I won't say that. But I have more questions. I'm more on the side of, if he was all that, he'd probably already be starting somewhere. And spending $14 million for a guy at 27 years old, if you're still drafting another young quarterback, I mean, who's the organization putting their confidence behind? Does Glennon have the confidence? Is he assured of the fact that this is his team? Is it the young guy? I mean, why muddy the waters? I don't even understand it. Re-sign Brian Hoyer, draft a couple quarterbacks, and go about your business. I don't get it. I don't understand this Glennon in between. We're trying to win. We're trying to rebuild. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's almost as though they won't pick a lane. Reminds me of the Bulls. Sorry to jump across to another sport, pick a lane.
Yeah, I wish I could disagree with you because it would add some spice to the show, but I am totally on board with what you're saying there. And I'm a Bears fan first and foremost, and so I hope it works out. But yeah, it doesn't seem like from an organizational standpoint that there's a master plan here. Let me ask you about the Alshon Jeffrey situation. You know, it's come down to Ryan Pace has said that he's going to allow Jeffrey to test the market, and we know that Antonio Brown has set the market with a $17 million per season contract extension, and then you've got next guys like A.J. Green, who make $15 million a year, Julio Jones, close to $15 million, and then you've got the next tier of players, Doug Baldwin, Keenan Allen, who are averaging about $11 million a year. What do you think is fair market for Alshon Jeffrey? And if he is allowed to leave the Bears, what do you think, again, it says about this Bears organization?
Alshon Jeffrey has all the talent in the world, and he had two pretty darn great seasons with Brandon Marshall on the other side in an offense tailor-made to his strengths. Since then, he's been a bit of a dud. I don't think he's at those guys' level. I think it's an insult to the Antonio Browns and Julio Jones of the world to put Alshon Jeffrey in the same class as they are, because he's not. So I don't think I would pay him that amount of money regardless of his age and the talent and the size that he brings to the table. I'm really torn in this situation because if we talk about the best wide receivers in the game, and I'm not blaming them, it's not their fault, but they don't win Super Bowls. The best running backs in the game don't win Super Bowls outside of Marshawn Lynch that one year in Seattle. They just don't. these are, I've looked it up. They do not win Super Bowls, whether it's because they command too high a percentage of the salary cap or because the game isn't, or because a good defense can stop a good receiver or running back. I'm not sure what the main argument is to prove why that's true, but it is. So you're torn because, I'm torn rather, because you got Kevin White, who's an injury prone at this point, massive question mark, and you had Cameron Meredith, who's a nice number three on a good team. You have nobody else. You don't have a quarterback either. So you're going to get a new quarterback, whoever may be, and give them a question mark at wide receiver and a number three, and then what do you have? But at the same time, I don't want to sign Alshon just because I'm desperate and overpay a guy for what he brings to the table just because. So I don't know what I would do, to be totally honest with you. I'm leaning towards, if I can get him, why would he take a pay cut? If I could get him for $12 to $14 million, man, he doesn't give you the production that the guys who make that kind of money give you. Yeah. So I'd have to walk. He doesn't give you that production. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, it seems
and you can't depend on them.
Yeah, well, the PED situation last year was a really big knock on him because this wasn't an injury. This was a self-inflicted wound that hurt the team and hurt his market value in my eyes. So we'll see. But there's probably a desperate team out there that, you know, wants to sell tickets like the San Francisco 49ers that will probably overpay him.
Didn't the 49ers just sign Pierre Garçon? They just did.
Oh, did they? Okay, so I missed that. So
they just signed Pierre Garçon before we got on the phone.
That's good news for the Bears because you know, it would be great to have him back, but at a fair value. And I agree that he's more in that Keenan Allen $11 to $12 million a year than, as you said, it's insulting to even compare him to an Antonio Brown.
Well, just when you look at the years those guys have year in and year out, and I think Julio Jones is the best receiver in the game. But when you look at Antonio Brown's last 4 years compared to Julio Jones, who's had two semi-off years, I mean, it's not even close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree there. Although Alshon does do some things in terms of taking attention away from other players because he demands attention from the defense is what I'm trying to say and opens up the run game and so forth. I just recently wrote an article for BearsBarroom.com, my website, that Ryan Pace should trade the team's number three pick and just stock up on draft picks. Is that something that you wouldn't mind seeing and maybe, draft a developmental quarterback late in first round, second round, and then just pick up players in a draft that looks like it's very deep at a number of positions. What are your thoughts about potentially trading this number three overall pick?
I think a lot of times when we talk about hoarding draft picks, we look at what the Cowboys did in the 90s. Cleveland got they gained two or three draft picks from the Eagles last year. Trading that second pick in the draft. I think it really depends on what the actual haul that you obtain is. Unless you are in love with a guy at number three, I would not be opposed to it because of all of the holes that you have on your team. But it really depends on what you get. And I don't know what team is trading up to three, but you're probably looking to get a decent haul. You're either looking at a team that has multiple first round draft picks behind you. Well, obviously, because there are only two teams ahead of you. So either you're looking at a team that has multiple draft picks in the first round, or a team that's picking later in the draft that has to give you a first rounder for a subsequent season and just a slew of picks, if not more than one first. Mm-hmm. So unless you get something like that, I don't see it just to move back and get another second rounder or anything of the sort. So that number three draft pick, that price tag has to be pretty high in order to pull that deal off, I would say.
Listen, I know that this is a very busy sports day, and I've already taken up a lot of your time, but I got two quick things before I let you go. First of all, it's a compliment. I've been in the Chicago broadcast business. I've been following Chicago broadcasting since the late 60s. I worked at WBBM for about 10 years. And I attended all the Swanky Awards show. I'm still in contact with a lot of people in the business. And in all of my years, I've never come across someone as sharply dressed as you. I mean, brother, you bring it. You bring it. You have such incredible style. So my question is, what Chicago athlete do you think is best dressed, and what Chicago athlete do you think needs some Tiafa Lewis fashion?
First and foremost, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Very kind of you. I don't like generalizing, but I will. Hockey players, I feel like they mostly wear like a Hugo Boss. And people are going to laugh at me for saying that they're too skinny, but I think they are. Because I like a well-fit Italian suit. Brandon Marshall, I'm friendly with the guy who used to make Brandon and Jay's suits and sport coats. So I would have said Brandon at the time. Currently, you see, Dwayne Wade is too fashion 40s. He's not classic enough for me. I like a classic silhouette, something that'll stand the test of time. Dwayne is very, very fashion-oriented. So the stuff he wears, because of the money he makes, he'll wear something tonight that you can't wear 2 years from now because it's too trendy. I don't like trendy. So who does that leave? Man, it's a good question.
It's a tough choice, yeah.
I like Jay Cutler's clothing. I don't like how he wears it or puts it together. Wow. Right now, nobody really grabs my attention. That's sad, huh?
Well, it's safe to say that everybody should follow your fashion.
No, but here's the other thing, okay? There's fashion and there's style. I mean, you can go into a store and have somebody have a sales guy just dress you in whatever. You can go to a custom guy and have him dress you in whatever. That's not your personal style. Your personal style is identifiable with and for you. What I do may not work for the next guy. It has to do with body type, has to do with personality. So you don't want to mimic somebody else's style. You want to try and find your own style. Now,
right.
You can take little pieces. I tell this to young people trying to get into the business as well. I always tell them to watch people who are in the business who are already doing it. Take little things that you like from what they do and maybe add it to your style. But you don't want to copy somebody else. You don't want to be the next Tiafa Lewis. You want to be the first Joe Smith, if that makes any sense. So
sure.
That's how I feel about style.
Well, that's good advice. Listen, my last question, and it's probably the most important one, because you worked alongside one of the most likable sports personalities in the business, a guy who is in his own special way an icon for Chicago sports with his Rudy-like sports biography over at Northwestern and in the NFL, Mike Adamley, and your cohort over at WMAQ, Peggy Kaczynski, did a recent series on his serious health issues. I'd like to ask you, how is Mike doing? And, our heart goes out to what he's going through.
It absolutely does. And the crazy thing is that initially when things first happened last March, we were very much in the dark for quite some time. So it was a bit tough when we finally found out the depths of, I don't want to say his despair, but the depths of what he was dealing with. It's jaw-dropping to think of somebody who's so physically strong and determined to lose a sense of control over his body and what he can and cannot do. It's heartbreaking, but he's trying, man, like you saw in the piece, and we've talked a little bit. He's trying every day, and it's a struggle, and it'll continue to be a struggle, so you just have to hope that he can control his mental faculties as much as possible. Just maybe hope that there's something in the medical strain that can help him live a good life, you know?
I hear you. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for your time. Our listeners can follow you on Twitter. It is at SIAFALEWISNBC at Tiafa Lewis NBC. You've been really great to grant me a half hour of your time on a very busy sports day. We'll be looking for you on WMAQ TV. Thanks very much, Tiafa.
We will do it again. I had a blast. Thank you so much for thinking of me, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, that was my interview with Tiafa. And before you listeners go, make sure that you listen to Bears Hour Live on Thursday night. Just go over to their Twitter handle, at Bears Hour Live, and you'll get the details there about the live show that they will have on Thursday night. They're going to go over all of the free agent dealings, and they, of course, take in phone calls so you can interact with them. And that's Bears Hour Live. Check for them on Twitter. And we hope to have the entire gang together for a Bears Barroom Radio podcast very soon. And we'll go over all the free agent stuff in our own unique manner. And then Jose Cotto and I are doing a podcast for early next week. It should be out on Monday. And on that show, Jose is going to reveal his draft board. So that should be a lot of fun. He's been doing a lot of research. And he's got his top 10 ready to share with us, and we'll probably talk about a few more players other than those top 10. And as always, please stop by bearsbarroom.com, where we're posting unique Bears content that you won't find anywhere else. That's our show. Remember, if you drink, please do so responsibly, and always, bear down.